Welcome to Career Tools. This week, Political Errors, Chapter 1, Oversharing. Here we go. So, Wendy, many of us know information about our colleagues that is private. Something has been shared with us that we understand is private about that person. We may have information about their feelings about things at work, their personal circumstances, the exact details of a situation that happened, whatever. And we can be tempted to share and perhaps even, as in the title, overshare. Sometimes that secret is good and you know, people feel like it makes me feel better to be able to share it with something else to show that I have information that they don't have. And sometimes we inadvertently share because it helps us make a case to someone else. So the question really becomes, how can we learn to be more effective, more professional at work with the information that we have that sometimes is somewhat private or somewhat secret, right?
Yeah.
So what's our guidance?
We're going to start with don't promise or expect confidentiality.
Oh, okay. So if I tell you something, I can't assume that it will be kept in confidence.
If you tell me something, you should probably assume that I'm going to tell Mike and Danny and Tracy and everybody else who works here, and probably my mum and dad and several friends. And
right, okay.
Don't encourage gossiping.
Gee whiz, yeah. We have a podcast about that on the Manager Tools side, right? About nipping gossiping in the bud. Okay, good. What else?
Yeah. And the last one, don't share information unless it's necessary.
Meaning the key to keeping too much information from being out there is not putting out too much information to begin with.
Exactly.
Now, I suspect there are going to be a lot of people who don't like this cast because they want to have friends at work and they want to be able to share with their friends at work. And folks, we want you to have friends at work. It's totally okay to have friends at work. But the lines you draw in friendship in your personal life need to be slightly different than the lines you draw in your work life. And there are subtle differences in the workplace, which unfortunately many people, the professional training that people are getting as they start their professional careers today is somewhat less than what it was years ago. And there are situations where you'll take your normal approach to things and be surprised that it unfortunately hurts you or hurts someone else. So, with that in mind, let's start with don't promise or expect confidentiality. And for the record, before we get going, we absolutely have a podcast about this. I think it's called There Is No Confidentiality Between You and Your Boss, right? I mean, that's a Manager Tools cast, right? You can't
–
it's just don't offer confidentiality, I think is the title, meaning if a direct comes to you and says, I'd like to tell you something in confidence, as a manager – you have an obligation to say, I'm sorry, I can't offer that because I don't know what you're going to tell me. And you're going to extend that and say, no one in the workplace can offer you confidentiality.
No. So we're going to extend the idea of confidentiality that not only can you not promise it to other people, but that you shouldn't expect it from other people, even the people that you think will keep things confidential. You can't assume that people will do that for lots of reasons. It's a simple example.
Right.
Let's say you're planning on another baby and you'll be taking maternity leave and you tell Sue because you're in the bathroom one day and Sue sees you with, you know, suffering from morning sickness. And of course, you have to explain that.
And even if she didn't, you might have shared with her privately. Yes. You know, Bob and I are thinking about having a second child, and so we're doing maternity leave. And I'm glad you picked this one as an example, Wendy, because we've actually had several questions about when am I obligated to talk to my boss about maternity leave, right? At what point does my personal privacy, and to some degree, maybe protecting my career to some degree, conflict with the organization's need to know about resources and so on? And is my boss assuming that I'm going to be at work in 6 months when in fact I know, because now one of the great blessings of life, I'm pregnant, has happened. And I know that there's going to be a time when I'm not going to be available for 4, 6, 8 weeks, whatever the length of time is. So good. Yeah. I love this example. So I interrupted. I'm sorry. So we've got a female employee who tells her friend Sue, because of the morning sickness, yes, I'm pregnant and I'm due X. And, of course, that means I'll be taking the maternity leave, which the company encourages me to take. And you've said, we trust Sue not to tell anyone.
Yeah, I mean, you would say, please don't tell anyone, because people tend to do that. And especially if it's early in a pregnancy, people don't want lots of people to know because of the dangers of, you know, things that happen in pregnancy.
It's funny you say that, because morning sickness tends to happen in the first trimester. Ladies, I respect that some of you are gritting your teeth because a man, me, is talking about pregnancy and trimesters and morning sickness.
And a childless
woman.
And I know
that many women have morning sickness far past the first trimester. And yet it is still true that the majority of morning sickness happens in the first trimester. And further, this puts things in an awkward situation, because let's be honest here, folks. Losing a child if you're pregnant is a terrible tragedy. And there's some concern about notifying people, because if everyone knows you're pregnant and then unfortunately you lose the baby, it's a horrible situation for you and for many other people. So typically there is some privacy, some not confidentiality exactly, but a carefulness about sharing, because there are pregnancies that are terminated that don't go to term, and it's no one's fault. And there are situations where you wouldn't want to share because it's not certain and because you haven't figured it out in your family. And we respect that. In this case, it would be completely reasonable for a woman to say, I'm in the first trimester. Yes, I'm having morning sickness, which, by the way, causes many women. I've talked to many of them. I've counseled many of them who feel that they have to be exceptionally careful during that time when they're having morning sickness, but they're not ready to share, and morning sickness and running from your desk or having to be careful and so on creates tension and fear. We respect this. So I love this example, Wendy. And there are some people who are going to write me and say, well, you know, you really don't know. You've never been pregnant. Yeah, ladies, you're right. I've never been pregnant. And at the same time, I've seen what happens when professionals are put in a situation where they're doing something that's important to them, clearly. And yet that creates a point of conflict in terms of your values and your choices at work. So, okay, first trimester, not ready to make a pregnancy announcement yet. Completely smart, reasonable, because of all kinds of things we just talked about. Mm-hmm. Okay, so keep going.
And the other person who knows is another woman who would understand all of those things, you know, because women, you know, are in a similar boat, right? And not saying that men wouldn't, but, you know. So Sue goes to this project meeting, and the discussion is about a rollout that's going to start in 9 months. And your name is being penciled in as the project manager. And Sue says, we can't do that. And then the moment it comes out of her mouth, because she knew that you would be on maternity leave, so she just blurts out, we can't do that. She thinks, you didn't want to tell anyone. And of course, the project manager or the person who's doing the scheduling then wants to know, well, why can't we do that? And Sue kind of says, well, I just don't think it's a good idea. And she tries to hedge and move on, which of course draws even more attention to the fact that there's something going on with you. And nobody knows what it is. And of course, because they don't know what it is, they're even more curious.
Right.
And it's all because Sue blurted something out that she didn't even intend to.
Yeah, and you may be mad at Sue, and we would respect you for that. And it might have been smarter for Sue to say nothing, and then to take the leader of the meeting aside and say, hey, listen, agree with everything that happened, and just... No, I'll even change my idea. Let's go back. Sue comes back to you, the lady in the first trimester, and says, look, your name was discussed about a project in 9 months. You need to decide what you want to do about that, because they're putting you on a project lead, and you're going to be penciled in, and other people are going to be penciled in for other things. Now, it's completely reasonable for you to say, I've chosen not to do anything about that. You would have preferred that Sue not say anything, and she didn't, and now she's coming back to you. And it wouldn't be wrong for you to say, I'm not ready to share, and the company is simply going to have to deal with the pinch that happens when I announce, and this outcome of I'm not going to be available is going to occur. If I were her manager of Sue and this other person, we'll call her Barb, who is pregnant, I would say, when Barb came to me later than I would have liked in an ideal situation, I would have said, okay, your child is more important. You're maternity leave is more important than our project, and I will simply have to adjust the way we always adjust in situations that we don't have the right resources and so on.
People think of maternity as being something special because it's planned, because you know it's going to happen. But companies deal all the time with people being sick, with people leaving, with people, you know, suddenly having to move or go look after somebody in their family, and they adjust. There's nothing different about pregnancy and maternity leave. Just because you know about it ahead of time doesn't mean the company can't deal with it if they find out with less time than they would want.
I actually got in trouble a number of years ago for telling someone, generally speaking, be careful about starting projects that are particularly international projects in the summertime, because different countries have different rules and different rhythms regarding summer vacations. Typically, a lot of people change jobs in the summertime because they have children and because that's when children are out of school in many parts of the world. And guys, no offense, if you look at the distribution of birth dates across the world, they're not evenly distributed. It's much more likely someone is going to be born in August and September than they are going to be born in January. And I told a manager once, look, you have 10 directs, 9 are women, all between the ages of 24 and 35. And we're talking about a year from now. You need to understand that there's the possibility that one of them is going to be pregnant. And it's none of your business when they're choosing it. Their family is more important than work. And you have to have that in the back of your head. And by the way, if you discriminate on the basis of that, that's illegal and it's wrong. And you better have a good enough relationship so that they may be willing to trust you. That said, when the manager knows, he or she has to make a decision about what's best for the organization and while respecting their relationship with you. Okay, so in this case, sharing with Sue and assuming that Sue will not, and therefore shall not share it with anyone else is a risk, is what we're saying, right?
Exactly. If you expect confidentiality from Sue, and like we said, Sue just blurted it out. It really was, I mean, it is her fault because she said it, but, you know, it's a human mistake. If you expected Sue never to make a human mistake and not to make one around your pregnancy, then you were mistaken. So it's better not to expect it and for it to happen and for Sue to come quietly to you after the meeting and say, hey, I saw they're penciling your name in. I'll leave it to you to choose what you want to do.
Exactly. Or we recognize Sue made a mistake in terms of your mind, but she also felt she had an obligation. Mm-hmm. We would have recommended you not tell her. If she asks, are you okay? Say, I'm sorry, I'm just not feeling well today. And you would choose not to, if you'll pardon the expression, burden Sue with that information. Because Sue then may be put in a situation like the meeting where they're planning a project manager. Now, some of you would say, gee, this sounds fair. I have to be very careful. Yes, for some people, that's true. For some people, the natural tendency is to think of Sue as a friend and to share completely and openly. But you increase the chances that she's going to be put in a situation where she'll have to make a choice between the friendship and the business. And there are all kinds of situations where you might fault her, but she could make a case it wasn't wrong or it wasn't illicit or unethical for her to share something because it had an impact on the business. And she is, if she's a manager or director, she has an obligation to be forthright in her dealing with other people. By the same token, we would suggest that you not share. And Sue may come back to you later and say to you, you know, you clearly had morning sickness. Why wouldn't you tell me that? We're friends. And that's part of the reason why you would share with Sue, because you don't want her. You feel that you're being misleading with Sue in the bathroom when the exchange occurs, because the truth of it is you're pregnant. That said, the choice is, do I want to put Sue in a situation where she may feel obligated to share some private information that I'm not willing to share everybody else? Or would I rather have to deal with a bit of an uncomfortable situation when Sue comes back to me and says, oh my gosh, 2 months ago, you in the bathroom, you were pregnant, and that was morning sickness. And what we're recommending to you is that you would say, yes, and I'm sorry I didn't share it with you, but I felt that it would be awkward for you to know something private about me, that a situation may come up and you would feel obligated to privately or come back to me and say, you need to say something because they're planning something and we both know that hypothetically you're not going to be available. And this situation is interesting because if it happened in the ladies' restroom, it would by definition be Sue, of course, would be female. Mm-hmm. If it didn't happen in the ladies' restroom or a male colleague saw what he or she, what he believed to be morning sickness or behavior around morning sickness, hopefully not in the ladies' bathroom, he might then be in that same meeting and say, do I need to say something or do I need to go have a conversation with Barb, the person who is pregnant? So we would recommend you not share initially so that you don't put Sue in that situation. And then when she comes back to you, say, look, I'm really sorry. I had to make a choice between putting you in an awkward situation. And while I would have loved to share with you as a friend, I also know you're a colleague. And I didn't want you in a situation where you'd have to make a choice because I didn't want you to make a choice to be respectful of our friendship and then have that come back to bite you when someone says, if you knew, why didn't you tell us? And some of you are listening to this and thinking, gosh, this is complex. And we would say, perhaps, and maybe even some of you disagree with this because the friendships you make at work are so important to you. And that's okay to have those deep kind of friendships. It's not okay to assume, therefore, that trumps everything else in the workplace. And we could give you 20 more examples that got increasingly gray for you where you would finally say, yes, I can understand that there are some situations that put the friendship, the assumption of confidentiality that goes with friendships, the sharing of secrets would be put at odds with one's relationships. And it's hard. And that's why our guidance is don't promise or expect confidentiality. And some of you will choose to break that, but you'll, and break is not the right word. Some of you will choose to disagree with that in some situations in the future. And that's okay. We respect that. But we want you to know what the causes are, how to see it, and what your choice means relative to the organization and your relationships.
Especially people that are new to the workforce, you tend to assume that the friendships you have at work are like the friendships you have outside
great
work.
Point, great point.
And you tend to assume that when HR says everything you say in here is confidential, that means it's between you and the person in the office that you're with. And it's not. Or it could be, but it could also equally go out. You know, if it's something that needs to be actioned, then people need to know about it. If you go to the HR person and you say, I know Bob is stealing, then it's never going to be just between you and the HR person, because the HR person needs to do something about it. And the first thing is verify that it's happening. So she goes to Bob's manager.
Yes.
And your idea that it was confidential.
Yes.
It is still confidential, but maybe Bob will find out that it was you.
Right. Good. So, again, you say the best way to act is to not promise or not expect confidentiality. No one is perfect. We all share things, and we need to understand when we do that there are risks, and we don't want you to be caught blind. That's the key. What is it? If you want to keep a secret, if you want to share a secret, share it with a dead guy.
I haven't heard that before.
Oh, have you never heard that? Oh, yeah. Secret team two. There's the only secret that stays between two people is the one with the dead guy.
That is very true.
Yeah. And by the way, for those of you who sometimes remember my dark mark, I'm not suggesting that you share a secret with someone and then kill them. let's not do that. To inject a little levity into what I'm sure for some of our listeners, they're saying, these people, who are these people? Okay. Next thing, gossip. You said one of the things is don't encourage gossiping.
Yeah. And the reason why I say that is because gossiping starts innocently enough, but it really spirals very quickly. So here's an example. So one day, Sue, who's apparently walking all the way around the building, says to Jean, do you think Mary's put on some weight lately? And Jean says, well, maybe she's expecting. And the next day, Jean has lunch with Mabel, and she says, hey, do you think Mary's expecting? Jean suggested it.
That is a brilliant series of things. That's exactly how this stuff happens.
Yeah, exactly. And now there's three people talking about Mary potentially being pregnant or putting on weight for some reason, and none of it is about work, and none of it is really constructive. It's just it's gossip, which has its, you know, we have a human want to talk about other people. It gives us a bit of a thrill somehow, but it's not good for us.
Yeah.
And then when somebody gives us something, we feel the obligation to reciprocate.
Yeah.
So Jean has just given Mabel information, and so Mabel feels like she has to give something back. So she talks about John's divorce. And of course, Jean and Sue are friends, so Jean shares the news of John's divorce with Sue. And now there's this kind of web of information that's really not necessary that's going around. And there's this kind of back channel to work. And because Jean's the hub of information, Jean has both the information about John's divorce and the information about Mary potentially being pregnant, which she maybe isn't. That information will gravitate to her because she's sending it out. And the more she sends out, the more she gets in return because of this feeling of that we have to give something back for something that's given to us.
Yeah.
And so you can find yourself as at the center of a whole bunch of information about people's personal lives, about how people feel about work, about all the things that gossip is about. And it all starts from this innocent, what you would call innocent question. Do you think Mary's put on some weight?
Yeah, I'll tell you. One of the rules that I have about this is I have a saying that you've heard me say many times. I don't go off the record. Unfortunately, in today's world, a lot of the news we hear, if you pay attention to geopolitical news, there are discussions, and this has been verified by a senior administration official, and they say, well, this is for background, or this is off the record, and so on. And there's this whole world around the type of information and who's sharing it and whether you can associate their name with it. Now, unfortunately, in my role, we're trusted with lots of things about organizations. We often say, I often tell clients and so on, I say, I don't go off the record because I don't want someone thinking that they can quote me, meaning me, if I say I'm off the record and then someone says, okay, well, Horseman said that. Technically, off the record means you can't associate what I'm saying with me. But that puts the other person in a situation where their allegiances will be tested based on whether or not their information that they got from me is only valuable if they're share with other people that it is from me. And then I may have violated a confidence. And so my general rule is don't go off the record. Now, I'm not against someone telling me something in confidence. But by the same token, I'm also not against deciding for myself, if I know something, which of the various responsibilities I have, spiritually, ethically, family, work, allegiances within work, to my boss, to the organization, to my peers, to my colleagues, to my directs, to my clients, which of those takes precedence. And I think that's the big problem, is that everyone assumes that they forget that in the moment when they're gossiping, when they're talking up, when you're talking about a third person with information that someone may think would not be appropriate. In other words, would you want video of that exchange being on YouTube in real time? The moment you do that, you're essentially doing something that you may not like, or it may not be held in high regard, and it's not helpful. There's an old saying that great people talk about ideas, most people talk about things, and small people talk about other people. And so gossiping, bringing up that third party, is generally not helpful. Now, we know it's a standard currency of relationships, and we're not telling you can't ever gossip or you're not a professional. We know you're going to slip. I slip, Wendy slips, Mike slips, everybody I know slips. But knowing more, particularly if you're just starting your career, folks, knowing more now that those kinds of things can get you in hot water, and the assumption that because gossiping is a currency of friendship, and so therefore it's normal, you have to be very careful about that. All gossip, all third-party discussions of other people have consequences. It may just be consequences in terms of putting another person in a situation where they have to make a choice. And sometimes the choice favors you, but sometimes it doesn't. But you're increasing the chances that there is risk. And we're not suggesting you become some mute who never speaks. But you need to understand the parameters and the ramifications of what you're doing.
Yeah. And that bright white line of I don't ever go off the record also keeps you honest in the sense that you know that every single thing you say could be written down, videoed, could be repeated with your name against it.
Yeah.
And that's a powerful incentive to not say things that you shouldn't be saying.
Yeah. Okay, the last piece of guidance we had is don't share unless it's necessary. Don't share information unless it's necessary.
Yeah, and that's about having information and not being sued, not blurting it out, not sharing it when, you know, in that meeting right then, did it need to be shared? And the answer was no. It could have been handled differently. And you can't take that back. If Sue comes to me and says, I'm really sorry, but I said something I shouldn't have done in that meeting about your pregnancy, you know, that really affects our relationship.
Yep.
And some people would say, I'm heartbroken that she broke my confidence. And, you know, different people are affected different ways, but it's definitely a really big dig in your relationship. And the other thing is, once you've said something that you shouldn't have done, it's out there. It's traveling. Whether you wanted it to or not, whether you said to the other person, hey, I shouldn't be telling you this, so keep it quiet, that's
I think of that point about it's out there and it's free to travel. I think of it as applying the law of a half-life. And what I mean by that is every person you tell, if I share something with Wendy, and it's in confidence because Wendy understands the nature of the item and the people being discussed. The moment she shares it with someone else, those people don't have an understanding of the subtleties of the confidence, the nature of how that item had confidentiality between Wendy and I. If I'm sharing something about Mike, for instance, which is a particularly egregious example because he's Wendy's boss, and he's my peer. If I share downward in the organization with Wendy, and then Wendy shares it with someone else, they don't understand that perhaps the relationship between Mike and I, and Wendy and I, and Mike and I, or Mike and Wendy. Even if they know us, the fact that they know who we are changes that they don't feel the way we do about our relationships because they're outside the relationship, and so therefore, whatever barrier Wendy had to go over to share that with that person, whether it was high or low, that person's barrier to share it with the next person is half as high as Wendy's. And since it has already gone, Wendy's already gone over it, they've essentially learned from Wendy that they can share it with other people because Wendy's part of the three-person discussion that understood the nature of the confidentiality or the personal nature of the information. When she shares it outside, the first person that other person will share it with, by definition, is their spouse, because spousal relationships trump all. Mm-hmm. Guys, anytime you share anything with anyone else, it by definition can be shared with that person's spouse, because if you share it with that person, their spouse outranks you in the nature of all things. And if you're talking about adults, many of them have spouses. So you've got to be careful.
And the other thing, of course, about sharing is that it goes through the process that I call Chinese whispers and you call telephone.
Yeah, the game of telephone, yeah.
Where every person who says it changes it slightly.
Yes, exactly.
And what it ends up as is nothing like what it started as, so.
Yeah.
We talked earlier about how Sue could have come to you after the meeting.
Right.
And just said, hey, this is what they're thinking of you. I'll leave it up to you how to deal with it. Now, Sue could have done something else, which is go to the project manager or go to your manager or go to her manager. But that is unnecessarily giving information to other people.
Right.
So if you're in Sue's position, it's much better to go back to the person who gave you the information and not spread it
right
to people that, you know, maybe
that third person, right? That third person, if
exactly.
that, particularly if that project manager doesn't know you, the person who's pregnant, their willingness to share it with anyone. Hey, they sent out an email. By the way, I just thought I'd let you know, Barb, let's say Barb is the pregnant person. Barb is due to deliver or, you know, is expecting a baby. So that we need to consider that in all our personal decisions. And Barb gets the email.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's not happy.
Right.
And you can absolutely justify it from Sue's point of view to tell the project manager. But, you know, it introduces a third person
yeah.
that's unnecessary. There is another action which is more kinder, nicer, and more fitting.
The point of this is you had a choice in sharing it with Sue. We would have recommended you not. But if you choose to, you recognize that there are situations you put Sue into. And we also recommend Sue not share with someone else, but to come back to you, unless she believes that she's obligated to do so. But it is the difference between the relationship and the obligations that make this delicate. And so that's why we call this a political error, because there are times when you overshare and it creates unseen, unheard ripples that often, for people who are not politically aware, later come back to be awkward or uncomfortable.
Yeah. And there is a balancing point. There is a point at which the information so heavily affects the company that it has to be said.
Right.
So in the instance of Bob stealing, if you know that, you have to say that.
Right.
You can't just go up to Bob and go, hey, mate, I know you're stealing stuff. You better stop. Because there's a crime that's been committed. You can't do that. So there is a weight to the obligation versus
right.
the relationship. And that there is definitely a time at which that tips towards the organization.
Good. So I'm sure we'll get some email about this. And that's good. We're furthering the discussion of management and professionalism and careers in the modern world today. Sum up for us.
Okay, so don't promise or expect confidentiality, don't encourage gossiping, and don't share information unless it's necessary.
Yeah, you mentioned gossip again. It's delicious. Knowing yes. something other people don't know makes us feel in the know and special. Sharing it makes us feel important. And at times, that sharing can harm our relationships with others and our reputation. So be careful. Think twice before you share, because oversharing is a political error. Thanks, Wendy.
Thanks. Bye, everyone.
That's it, everybody. Our first chapter in the political errors theme at Career Tools, oversharing. Hope you enjoyed it. Come back next week. See you then.